For our scripture lesson, I'd like to read Psalm 8 in its entirety. It's not very lengthy. And I'll actually, when we get into meditating upon God's holy word, I'll be dealing with the first verse as introductory to my whole time of meditation. This is a Psalm of David. He says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have just looked at Psalm 8, just a few verses that David was inspired to write many, many years ago. And I pray, God, that as we meditate upon especially that first verse, because that will be the beginning of our time of meditating, that it might find a lodging place within our hearts. I have prepared this week. I have prayed this week. I have prayed that you would help me. And I pray that the congregation would be open and receptive to what you have laid upon my heart. So that together when we leave this service, we would say with the psalmist of old, I was glad when you said it to me, let us go up into the house of the Lord. May your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. In that particular psalm which I read for our hearing, we find that first verse, and I was looking at it very carefully, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And I was thinking of David. He's saying, O Lord, it's just like he's addressing him personally. And then he comes in and he says, our Lord. It'd be just like me coming in and talking to you about my Lord. Well, it makes sense. He's saying, O Lord, it's like personal. But then he brings in our Lord. So if I were to come in, which I am in your midst, and we'd be talking about my Lord, I'm saying our Lord. Isn't that better? Because I know who you folks are, that you believe in Jesus Christ, you've been washed in his blood, you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior. So David is saying, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name? Now, I'm the kind of guy that I'm not the smartest kid in the block. So I have to look up a lot of research. Sometimes my vocabulary isn't too good. Sometimes I want a deeper meaning of a word. So I thought, well, this word majestic, how majestic is your name? So I got out the dictionary. And majestic means grand, noble, dignified, stately, imposed. Now that's what the dictionary says about majestic. Now, as God, and God's the one who leads me, when I preach, when I prepare, when I share, I need God to help me. So I'm looking at the words that describe majestic, and it's in regards to the name of God. God's name is grand. Amen. His name is grand. His name is above all names. His name is noble. His name is noble. We think of kings and queens and nobility. I want to tell you something. The name of God is noble. Far exceeding. And not putting those people down, but far exceeding them. His name is dignified. He's set apart from all others. His name is stately. I mean, it commands our attention. And it's imposing. It's all powerful. So that's what majestic means, and that's in reference to his name. But then God's name, this is what Isaiah said. His name is holy. His name is holy. The psalmist said, holy and awesome is his name. God said, not Barry Becker, God said in Leviticus, do not profane my holy name. Do not profane my holy name. Now listen, let's be open and honest. We know that this happens. We know that God speak about God and the people speak about God in an unholy way. You know what really bugs me? When people say, well, I think there has to be somebody upstairs. I mean, somebody? That somebody that you're referring to is God. And yes, he is upstairs, but he's probably in his third heaven as best as I can consume. There are three heavens. We know he's up because Jesus ascended up to be with the Heavenly Father. So when people say, well, there's somebody upstairs, forget it. That somebody you're referring to is God. And then, of course, some people use his name in foul language. And God said, do not profane my holy name. Now we can go one step further. We can go one step further. God is holy. His name is majestic. He is holy. His name is holy, but he is holy. You might say, preacher, how do you know that? Well, because God said so. God said to you and me, be ye holy as I am holy. So God is holy, and God wants you and me to be holy. I was thinking, and I was looking at it very carefully last night in the book of Revelation. You know, I don't know. You ever look up in the sky and you think, wow, sometimes these big black clouds. The other night, we live over at Chamberlain now, and the sky, the whole sky was black. And you know what? I get kind of scared. You know, I think, man, that is eerie when you see the big black clouds like that. But anyhow, how would you react if you saw a door in heaven that was open? I mean, you look up in heaven and you're not looking at beautiful clouds and formations of God, but you see a door open in heaven. And you might think, I don't really know if I ought to go through that door. But John saw a door open in heaven. And a voice spoke from heaven and said, come up hither and I will show you what will take place. Now just briefly, what John saw was the throne of God. Wow. And he saw the one sitting on the throne of God, who is God. And then he saw four seats circle around the throne. 24 seats circle around the throne. And then those 24 seats were 24 elders. And those elders had a robe of white linen on them. And they had a golden crown upon their heads. And may it be that we could just look at that and realize what that scene was really like. What that scene was really like. So then there were four living creatures that were there. And the Bible says that day and night, they said, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. That's what they said. And you know what happened then? Then the 24 elders got off of their seats and they went over and they took off their crowns and bowed before the one who was sitting on the throne, who is God. But take notice what they said. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. The hymn writer said, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 mercy, full and mighty, is our God. Amen to that? Then also that verse spoke about the glory of God. Well, the dictionary says that glory is something that brings praise and honor. So now we're looking at glory bringing praise and honor to God. And I was looking in Psalms 148 and 150, and we find that God is praised. Listen to this very carefully. I think it's so unique. In those two Psalms, praise comes from the angels, from the heavenly host, from the sun, from the moon, from the stars, from the mountains, from the sea creatures, from wild animals, from birds. You might say, creature, you're going with the deep end. Oh, God. I checked it out. Psalm 148, 150. It tells us all of that which I had just mentioned are giving praise to God. And then it continues on and says that people will give praise to God. You know, I enjoy coming down here for whatever occasion. And I enjoy you people. But this worship team up here, this worship team, you folks worship. And you folks are praising God. And it even says in those Psalms that nations will praise God. I'm not sure that they all are now, but the day will come when they will. They will. But see, we praise God for His power, and we praise God for His greatness. We praise Him with musical instruments. I was looking at this grouping over here. That was Seattle. But over here we had the musical instruments. So we're praising God as people, as nations, and with musical instruments. Well, let's just reflect a little bit on God's greatness. And the psalmist said, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great." You are very great. So when we look at creation, we really see the greatness of God, because you're very familiar with it, but when you read through that first chapter of Genesis, you realize that every day, every one of the 6 days of creation, it starts out and God said. So He spoke everything into creation, and He made everything out of nothing. Now, if you don't think that's great, you better get some test taken up here. Making everything out of nothing and speaking everything into existence. All of nature, all of life, all kinds of life. And then the final is man and woman. We already sang how great thou art, but I'm just going to go over those first two verses. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty Mandor and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, how great thou art. There's a hymn that is entitled Great is the Lord. I was just looking at a couple of the phrases in that hymn. And one of them is, great is the Lord, He is holy and just. Great is the Lord, He is faithful and true. Great is the Lord and worthy of praise. Well, we know that He's holy. We've established that. We know that He is just. He's fair in His justification and in the way He justifies everything. He is faithful. We know that. We're going to touch on that in a minute. And He is true. And He is also worthy of our praise. You see, the hymn writer also wrote in another hymn, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. So let's reflect on the greatness of God with thanksgiving. When I was going over these thoughts in my mind, I wrote this down. my parents taught me to say thank you well. I'm quite sure your parents taught you to say thank you. How many of you had your parents teach you to say thank you? See, so I'm not the only one. It's not like David say, "Oh Lord, our Lord." So I thought, I can't say, "Well, my parents taught me to say thank you," and you can sit there and say, "Well, who do you think you are?" You know, our parents taught me to say thank you too. So let's look at it this way. Our parents taught us to say thank you. Well, you know what Paul wrote to the Thessalonians? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now listen, what I just said there, that's a pretty hard verse of Scripture. In everything, give thanks? God, you've got to be kidding. What about those hard times? What about those difficult times? What about what we prayed about this morning? Well, we praised you for prayers that were answered, but we prayed for people who are going through difficult times. We prayed for people who are going to have tests taken. We prayed for Kathy in a new job. You know, in everything give thanks? In everything. Look at the beauty of nature and thank God for it. Okay. It's drizzling a little. I brought the umbrella in today. You know, when we came, I said to my wife, the sun's shining. 3 minutes later, it was dark and cloudy. So I thought, I'm only over here in the parking lot, but I better take the umbrella. I might need it. So I got it. But we thank God for the rain. We need it. So we look at nature. But then we look at circumstances. You know, God allows us to be tested. But we can be thankful that He's there through the testing times. Amen. Because God said, "I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you." And Jesus said the very same thing. Okay, let's reflect on God's providence. Now, providence is the act of providing for. He's going to be a great provider. The Scripture says that God is vigilant over all that He has made. In other words, He's watchful. He's closely observant of all that you and I are going through as an individual, as a family, and as a church. He's watching what you're going through. Well, again, I'm going back to the Psalms. And the psalmist said in the 104th Psalm, God provided, listen to this one, God provided water for the beasts of the field. The birds of the air nest by the waters. God made grass to grow for the cattle and plants for man, bringing forth food. So you talk about being a great provider. And this, God lays this in my heart. You know, I come prepared. But when I'm preaching, God always says, here's something you can share. You know, I think, but God, I mean, I'll be here forever. But He said, share this. Where we live right now at Chandler, we have some beautiful flowers that God has given us to enjoy. And I water them very faithfully because in potted plants have to be watered very much. And as the water goes down through into the tray, what we have seen is that a bird comes and drinks that water that's in the tray from overflowing from the pot. So God's even providing, as I water the flowers, through the water that goes down through the plant, and the birds are there getting that water. So God's a great provider. Then we think of God's provision and providence. We have Adam and Eve. We have Adam and Eve back in the Garden of Eden. Boy, they had it made. That's what we would say today. They had it made. Work was a joy. Wow. Can you imagine that, men and women? Work was a joy. After sin came, men was told He's going to till the soil with the sweat of your brow. And you women, which you have... Those of you who have had children, you had pain when you gave birth to the children. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Adam and Eve had a mate, but then they fell to the temptation of Satan. But even then, God, the great provider, provided a plan of salvation. He provided a plan of salvation. This wasn't like, oh, what am I going to do now? No, no, no. Even before He created the heavens and the earth, He had the plan of salvation in place, ready to go. If you want to call it plan B, it was there ready to go because he knew that when he gave humanity choice, that they would eventually yield to the temptation. And they did. And they fell. And because they had sin in their life, and some people don't want to hear it, but every infant child that is born has a sinful nature. Some people say, oh, you got to be kidding. No, I'm not kidding. It's scriptural. It's true. It's in the Word of God. But he has provided a plan of salvation. It says this in verses 3 and 4 of How Great Thou Art. And when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. But it gets better. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joys shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Well, we have the plan of salvation. And the songwriter wrote the chorus, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Now, God has provided guidelines for us to live by. Again, I'm looking at Psalms. I'm in the 19th Psalm now. And I'm just going to share with you briefly. It says here about the law of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord, the commands of the Lord, the ordinance of the Lord. Five different things that are given to us. Now listen to what the psalmist says about these. They're very important. The law of the Lord is perfect, and it revives the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, and they make wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right. They give joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant. They give light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, endures forever. That's reverence for God. And also the ordinances of the Lord are altogether righteous. They are better than gold, and they're sweeter than honey. So God has given us guidelines to live by, and they're in his laws and statutes and commandments. And it says this in that 104th Psalm, in keeping them, there is great reward. Remember when you were a child at home, and there might have been a time when you listened to your parents? Are you with me? There might have been a lot of times you didn't listen to them. But remember when you listened to them, there might have been a good reward. Okay? The psalmist says, in keeping them, there is great reward. We are warned to keep them, and in keeping them, there is a great reward. And then the psalmist concludes there and he says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God. Well, we've looked at God's provision, and we have to reflect on his providence with trust. God's going to provide for us. God's going to take care of us. And we have to trust God. I want to ask you something. Do I trust him as strongly as we ought to? Is there ever a time in your life that you may have or may even be going through right now where you really don't understand what's happening? Physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever. And your faith might waver a little bit. I'm not asking you to raise hands. But has that ever happened to you? I want to tell you something. The guy that you're looking at, I struggle with that already. I've wondered, well, God, where are you? And I want to tell you something. God got me straightened out. You know how he got me straightened out? I don't have internet. God didn't call me on the telephone. He didn't send me a letter. But this is what God related to me, his spirit to my spirit. When I was going through that difficult time, wondering why he wasn't doing something for my wife, he said, you know who you remind me of? The children of Israel, out in the wilderness, grumbling and complaining all the time. And I'm tired of it. That got my attention. That got my attention. Maybe you've gone that road already. Maybe you haven't. And if you haven't, praise God. Praise God, because you're trusting him fully and completely. But may I say something to you? You may one day wind up in that road. I don't know that you will, but you may. And if you do, just remember that God's saying to you, like he did to me, you remind me of the children of Israel grumbling and complaining all the time. We have to reflect on God's providence and trust. This is what David said to God. And David's speaking to God. He says, oh my God, I trust in you. Period. That's it. Oh my God, I trust in you. Now his life, he went through a lot. And he went through a lot because of his sin with Bathsheba. But he said, in you I trust. Oh, there's him, only trust him. There's him, trust and obey, for there's no other way. Then there's a hymn, trusting in Jesus. And it says, trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting him whatever befall, sickness, financial, emotional, things we don't understand, trusting him whatever befall, trusting Jesus. That is all. One of my favorite characters, people, in the Old Testament is Job. We all know what Job went through. In one day, I'm not going to go over the details, but in one day, he lost all of his livestock, four different categories. All of his servants, except one in each category. And all of his children, which I think were 10, all in one day. Can you imagine what he went through? And then his wife said, curse God and die. That's one day in the life of Job. And this is what Job said. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Livestock, servants, children, wife's statement. God, even if you slay me, I'm still going to trust you. He had no idea who Jesus Christ was. But he said, I know this, that in the latter days, when the worms destroy this body, I shall see my Redeemer, who is Jesus Christ. Amen. The psalmist said, we, you and me, must trust in the living God. We've looked at his greatness and how we have to praise him for it and thank him for it. We look at Him for His providence and how He's provided, and we have to trust Him that He'll do it. Amen. Heavenly Father, God, I have sensed Your presence here in a very special way today. I thank You for that. I might have shared this with this congregation before, but my pop taught me a long time ago that if I go up into the pulpit alone, I might as well sit down. But if I go up with God, He said, you have a chance. Well, God, I came up here with You today, and I sensed Your presence, and I thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.